Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's Bad Pod 227.
227. Poopoo Heaven.
Yeah, Poopoo Heaven.
That's the alternative name for our podcast. It is the subtitle to our podcast.
It is the sort of Burmese the it's like when it's translated, you know, like into Japanese cinema or whatever. They translate the titles.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. When Bud Pod is transported to Japan, it's called Poopoo Heaven.
It's Poopoo Heaven because Bud Pod had some unfortunate associations in the local culture, harder to pronounce. So yeah, Poopoo Heaven. The distributor, we let the local distributors in each country choose the name. If there's a problem, we trust them. We trust these guys.
Are you have you ever been
a member of the Communist Party?
a fan of anime, which I think is the same thing, actually.
Yeah, they are quite linked, aren't they? Yes, I mean, when I say I was a fan, we're talking here on the internet, Phil, where the standards for being a fan of anime are high.
Mm.
These are some high standards. I was a perfectly standard civilian fan of my generation, e.g., it's Pokemon, it's Dragon Ball Z, it's, you know, the standard, the big ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing too crazy. I've seen some Ghibli films. It's all pretty bog standard. I haven't got some very niche series that I love. I'm trying to think. I think that's it.
Dragon Ball is definitely Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so it is. For some reason, I always thought it was Chinese.
Is it because he has a kanji symbol on his back?
Yeah, and the dress looks quite Chinese to me. It looks quite Chinese to me. But I never watched it. I never liked anime. I don't know. I think
like
I've
Gundam.
Always been.
You like Gundam?
I liked having the robots. I liked making the robots. I never watched any Gundam.
Did you not? You didn't watch Gundam?
And I had Tamiya cars. I never watched. I think there was a Tamiya anime.
Oh.
Pokemon, I never got into. I thought Pokemon was fucking weird from the start.
Yeah. What was
Pokemon?
Weird about
and,
it?
Pokemon I mean, and Harry Potter were these, you know, phenomena that I always really avoided.
What did you watch there? What were you addicted to? What was taking over your little brain and warping it into a paste?
Batman the Animated Series,
mm-hmm.
I think. Did I watch the animated series? I think so. As much Batman as I could put into my eyes, pretty much.
Okay.
And then wrestling.
Yes, maybe that's your anime.
Yeah, wrestling was my anime. Wrestling was my Pokemon.
That would be a good poster or t-shirt. A good t-shirt for you. Wrestling was my anime.
I suppose it's closer to Pokemon, really, because it's like Brock Lesnar, I choose you. To fight The Rock or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trying to train up your Undertaker Pokemon to take on the Triple H Pokemon or something.
Yeah. Like yesterday, to relax, I watched a video of The Undertaker and Mick Foley now watching their classic 1998 Hell in a Cell match.
That is one of the maddest uses of your time I can imagine.
No, it's not. It was really nice. It was actually really nice.
It was just like watching two old actors watching.
It was
of
like
them
that. It really was.
Going,
it was really
yes, I remember you always very good with the chair.
Honestly, it was stuff like that. They did say things like that. It's special because The Undertaker has always been, I think, what's known in wrestling circles as kayfabe. He's always been in character. He never, ever gave any interviews out of or I think he never gave interviews at all. And apparently people spotted him just like flying on a plane. He'd still be like The Undertaker.
Yeah, he'd still be frightening.
And he's only now sort of talking about The Undertaker as someone who isn't The Undertaker.
Yeah, well, because the comedian, the stand-up Tom Segura,
yeah,
talked about going to The Undertaker's house and him being really nice and him being really unsettled by how like friendly and happy and nice The Undertaker was. And I guess that makes sense. But to me, it was so strange. It was like hearing a grown man say about Sir Ian McKellen, I went to Gandalf's house and he was just not a normal guy. Now, Gandalf had a toaster and then Gandalf made me some toast. And it's just like, you're an adult. What the hell are you talking about? Of course he was nice. He's a very rich performer. He's a friendly man, you know.
Sure.
But I guess that makes sense, because I didn't know till you said just now about his level of dedication to frowning and staring.
Yeah.
Even in public. Okay, that makes a bit more sense then.
Yeah, it would be different if you went to like Triple H's house. Triple H is, you know, a great heel, one of the great heels of the WWE. Yeah. And if he was nice, I wouldn't be so weird, because, you know, you've seen him speak as a normal man with long hair and a big nose.
Yeah.
He's a guy.
He's presumably done some sort of slightly rednecky public advocacy work.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder what his politics are. I mean, there tends to be a lot of republicanism in professional wrestling. I distinctly remember after Scott Steiner yelling on an episode of Raw, yelling fuck France and fuck the Dixie Chicks, because both
opposed the Iraq War.
Yeah, because both opposed the Iraq War. I just thought it was funny to hear a grown man go fuck France and fuck the Dixie Chicks.
Fuck France. I mean, it's so insane looking back to that 2003 vibe. It makes so little sense.
Yeah, how true was that story that they changed the name of French fries to Freedom Fries?
Some places did do it, but it was like a kind of news outlet, kind of free PR for the diner kind of thing, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That must have lasted, what, like 3 months for even the craziest of people before they just went right back to calling them just... Also, like, people always just said fries, didn't they? Even in America, were people really...
Yeah, that's what I thought. We always thought fries.
Were people really that wedded to calling them French fries? Was that really so important? So have you looked it up? Is Triple H an insane gun nut or what?
Oh, that's what I was looking up. Triple H politics. This is where my life is at right now.
Yeah, this is how you relax. I mean, I make fun of you, but I download academic PDFs about archaeology and read those. So.
Do you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay, Triple H appears to be a Republican.
Appears.
Or
I agree with that.
A supportive son-in-law, because he's married to Stephanie McMahon, who's the daughter of Vince McMahon.
Oh, the boss's daughter.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Sexy.
He's married to the boss's daughter, and he's now high up in running the WWE Triple H.
Sure he is. That's how it works.
Pedigreed his way to the top.
Yeah, when I picture a WWE wrestler doing a speech as themselves in favor of a cause, it's not refugee housing, put it that way.
No, very rarely.
I don't know. Whoa, if you can
Triple H was in a movie in 2011 called The Chaperone.
Oh,
he got a movie.
Everyone gets a movie called The Something at some point.
Okay, I have to show you the poster for The Chaperone, Triple H's 2011 movie. I've got to get WhatsApp up on here. That's right, a little peek behind the curtain, listener. I get WhatsApp up on my desktop.
Phil's one of those people that has desktop WhatsApp.
I'm a desktop WhatsApp guy, texting real quick because I'm fly. I text real quick because I got a keyboard to hand. Yeah, I'm a desktop WhatsApp guy, sending links to you on the fly. And I don't have to put it onto my phone first.
Having WhatsApp on my desktop would feel like just constantly having a kind of mobile phone game in the corner of my vision. It just would feel so distracting, so counterproductive.
Okay, I've just texted you The purse of the chaperone.
A
with
Trippier. Message from Phil? But what could it be? Wow.
Would you describe it for the listener, the post of the chaperone with Triple H?
Okay.
2011.
All right. Okay. It's, the lettering says Paul Levesque, and then for clarity, Triple H, is the chaperone.
Now, Triple H is making a face which would match perfectly the voice Pierre used for the chaperone.
The chaperone! Triple H has folded his tremendous arms.
They're big arms, but he somehow managed to fold them.
He somehow managed to fold. It's like he's managed to fold a cow. Just really big meat on meat. So he's folded his big, big arms, and he's doing a sort of Pixar slightly... He looks like he's trying to raise a single eyebrow, but he can't. That's what he looks like.
Yeah, right.
And he's sort of looking at the camera as if to go, can you believe this? This is my
life.
It's
more of a DreamWorks pose.
Yeah. Folded arms, here I am. And then, so he's in the
foreground.
Yeah, I'm
a fish, but I got problems. That kind of pose.
Yeah. I'm going to get us out of the aquarium, and it's going to be a loose parody of a heist film.
Yep.
Or Prison Break.
And it will have followed suspiciously soon after a very similar Pixar movie.
Yes, exactly. Called SeaWorld. Anyway, so he's in the foreground. His meaty arms are folded, and he's looking at the camera as if to say, "So here we go. Here we go." So, but in the background is the front of a big school bus, big yellow American school bus, and it's being driven by the character who I presume is his daughter.
Or his charge. It'll be the person he's chaperoning.
It'll be the chaperone, which is like supervised pepperoni. Chaperone pizza. So this girl who is sort of, she looks like a teenager, but she's probably like 21. Classic American film thing. And she's wearing a sort of red vest. Kind of a little sort of a down south kind of dress, clothing. And she's looking at a bullet hole in the windshield. She's driving it for some reason, which is like things have already gone wrong for the chaperone.
By the looks of it, driving it into Triple H, who has
into
his
bun,
back to her.
Yeah. And there's a bullet hole in the windshield, and she's looking up at it like, what?
How did I end up here?
Oh, there's a bullet? Shooting? And the title of the chaperone is on the front of the bus where normally it says, you know, school or the destination on, above the windshield. But what's this? What's this? Hold on. Because, listener, on top of the bus, like lying on top of the bus, like they're trying to sneak along the top of the bus.
They're trying to hold on to the bus.
Yeah, they're holding on. Whoa. And I have to say, Phil has sent me a very pixelated image. But
yeah, I didn't realize how small this file was.
Yeah, it's about 26 kilobyte file. But on top of the bus are, I'll just say it, they look like the two burglars, the wet bandits from Home Alone. That's clearly what they've gone for. They'll just go, we're going to use them again. One is short and sort of kind of tubby looking with what I think is a little hat. The other one is taller and has a sort of brown beard and hair. And they're both holding up pistols in their right hand, and their left hand they're holding up as if to say, whoa there, chaperone.
Slow down, Triple H as the chaperone.
Yeah, so Triple H is clearly... I think it's her dad, because I can make out, even with the insane pixelation, the sort of motto or funny slogan of the film is, her dad did time, ... Now he wants quality time.
Nice. Well, you're not far off. So the synopsis of The Chaperone 2011 is Ray, who's presumably Triple H.
Ray.
Ray quits his job as a driver to a group of robbers and decides to become a good parent to his daughter.
Sure.
But his old partners try to convince him to be a part of their last heist.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's some incredible numbers going on here. You want to guess, make a guess of the Rotten Tomato score?
I'm going to guess 18%.
It didn't do that badly. 29%.
Oh, okay. All right. Because, you know, Triple H, I suppose.
Now, the budget of the movie, you know, the amount of money spent on the movie, $8.2 million.
That is a very cheap film.
That's a cheap movie. That's a cheap movie.
It
but
might
would
not
you
sound
like to guess?
Listeners. That is would cheap.
Would you like to guess what, with a budget of $8.2 million, what The Chaperone starring Triple H took in at the box office?
Well, globally.
Mm-hmm.
$9 million.
I don't think I've ever seen this before. $30,000.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
So, essentially, it made zero money.
That
it cost $8 million it cost, and it made
$30,000.
Woof. Woof.
$30,000. $30,000 at the box office.
God damn.
For context, in its opening weekend, Oppenheimer took $80 million.
80?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
In a weekend. So wait, $30,000, right? Let's say that a ticket was what, $15?
Yep.
Yeah, like 2,000 people saw that.
Oh my God.
Dude, that's fewer people than would see one of our like tours.
Yeah, I just thought, gosh.
Triple H,
mad.
No.
And that's mad because he's like he's up there with the biggest stars in WWE, up there with The Rock. But The Rock is the highest grossing movie star in history.
Yes.
Of all
now,
time.
But now, okay, what is going on there, Phil? You know more about these men than I do. I know about The Rock from his movies and so on. I vaguely remember him raising his eyebrow successfully. Is that it? Is this just because Triple H clearly can't raise an eyebrow?
Well, The Rock was always like extraordinarily charismatic and always usually a face, i.e. a good guy.
Okay.
Triple H was a fantastic heel, i.e. a bad guy. So he's basically always a heel. Everything The Rock did was part of the show, from his catchphrases to his eyebrows to even how he sort of took hits. He takes hits, which is called selling in wrestling. He sells so flamboyantly. Like, he throws himself all over the place. He's a ham, basically. And he also got in early, you know, on the wrestlers being in Hollywood movies game. He played the Scorpion King in The Mummy.
Way early
on, when people thought it was kind of lame. People kind of made fun of him for it. People, like, he'd come back and fans would shout, "You sold out." People would just make fun. Like, there's Stone Cold would, like, in character by the ring, make fun of how bad Scorpion King was.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
But...
rude man.
But also of tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But he got in early and he just kind of kept at it. And then I guess it was the Need for Speed series that then really propelled The Rock as an action man.
You mean Fast and Furious?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Fast and Furious. Always.
What's Need for Speed again? Is that a video game?
It was a video game. I think they made a movie.
Yeah.
I think probably. They made a couple of movies. But
okay,
no,
so then some they get stuck in Fast and Furious. Okay, but yeah, Triple H just fucking hell. Shat the bed.
Yeah.
Which is weird because nothing about the formula is any different to any of these other ones.
Yeah, but just pure execution.
I wonder if it was a tax write-off, like a producer style. It just needed to lose money.
I mean, it looks like it. If it wasn't, they fucked up.
Oh, poor Triple H.
Poor Triple H. But he'll do all right.
And his muscles and his giant arms.
With his big old muscles. Also, like, he... You can tell from poster, he is clearly 7 times the strength of either of the actual criminals.
Yeah,
and he's the driver.
Yeah, they go, okay, you definitely need to stay in the car.
You'll just get in the way out there when we're trying to hurt people.
Yeah.
We'll be too worried about you while we're hurting people and they try to hurt us. We don't think you can look after yourself.
Look,
you stay in the car where it's safe. Triple H.
We need to intimidate the security of the place we're robbing. If it's a bank, if it's a mobster card game that we're knocking over, we need everyone in there to be too afraid to move or never mind reach for a gun. So you, what with being a 7-foot-tall monster, man, you have to stay in the car. They're going to be definitely not afraid of you, the most giant strong man they've ever seen in their life.
And we definitely will need a quick getaway. And so we'll need a driver who is sort of nimble and whose arms are of such a size that he can move them swiftly from steering wheel to gear change and back again and handbrake. So we need someone whose arms are very mobile. They're not going to sort of rub against his chest or get or bump into the rest of the car. We think have those live arms.
We we need someone who definitely won't have to completely push the driver's chair all the way back just to fit in the car, thus depriving us of a seat in the back of the car. It would be funny if in real life, if you saw a really big muscly guy like that, you weren't intimidated. Like they come in and they rob a mafia card game, and because they know so much about fitness, all the mafia guys are like, I'm not afraid of you. You only eat chicken breast.
Oh, hello, broccoli boy.
Yeah, well, there's an old Billy Brown Rice over here. Billy Brown Rice. And the guys are like, Triple H is like, shit, they know.
They know, they know. Get out of here. Go poach an egg.
you gotta condition your fucking forearms there. Like they're just really laying into him, these big fat guys.
Now on the Rotten Tomatoes, I was also then suggested you may also like and a John Cena movie, which has an even lower 20% rating. And this has now given me an idea for the worst movie marathon of all time.
We should do that.
We should do a professional wrestler movie marathon.
It should be called Muscle Man Movies, where all the movies have Muscle Man in it. Everyone seems to be pretending they aren't muscle men. That's a key requirement of the film.
Is that they're muscle men?
They're incongruous muscle men. No one seems to be interested in the fact that they've got basically an Olympic level bodybuilder as a friend.
And this would open up basically all of Arnold Schwarzenegger's oof.
Yeah, well, they can be like a little treat because they're actually good. Although interesting to hear that Cena had a bad one, because he's so good as Mr. Justice or whatever the fuck it is lately.
Oh, in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and the TV series. Have you seen the TV series?
I've not seen the TV series.
It's excellent.
Really? Wow. I was amazed how good that movie was. The second Suicide Squad movie.
The movie was sick.
I couldn't believe it.
So good. And the TV series is great. Highly recommended. Mm. What's he called again? Peacemaker. Peacemaker, there we go. He's so funny. He's really, really funny. He's too muscly to be that funny.
Yeah, he is. That's very funny. But I don't think he's actually considered that good a wrestler. He was a bodybuilder before he did professional wrestling. And a lot of the times these absolutely stacked guys are not very good wrestlers just because they can't really move very well.
Oh yeah, because they could just do poses. They can't kind of leap around.
Yeah, and also, like, literally the muscles just kind of get in the way. They're just a bit stiff, a bit heavy.
Well, it's that joke about having biceps so big you can't comb your hair.
That's it.
Yeah, that's interesting, because, like, if you look at pictures of The Rock back when he was a wrestler, he just kind of looks like quite a big bloke. It's like
he's way bigger now, weirdly.
Way bigger now. Back then, it's like, wow, his arms are perfectly smooth, but I guess they're quite big, like a sort of ham.
Yeah, he didn't even have abs.
There's no definition at all.
Yeah, yeah.
He's obviously still very big and strong, but like now he looks like an insane like anime anatomy drawing of a muscly guy.
Yeah.
And back then it was just like, he's the biggest guy we could find who was free and nearby.
Well, he comes from a big wrestling family. There's this huge family tree that of WWE wrestlers and professional wrestlers.
It's such
and The Rock is just one of these guys.
Such a fucking carny.
It really is. It really is. They're basically a circus who travel around.
Yeah. Maybe stand-ups will become like this.
It is quite something. The biggest movie star in the world is Polynesian. I mean, that's quite something.
That is crazy. Yeah. That is crazy. I don't think anyone expected that.
No.
Because it was Will Smith for a while before he went poopy.
Yeah, poopy and loopy.
He went a bit poopy, a bit loopy.
Will Smith was the highest grossing movie star of all time, you're right, until The Rock, yeah.
Until The Rock took it over, because Will Smith made that weird, I'm definitely not a Scientologist movie with his son.
Yeah.
And that tanked.
Oh God, yeah. There's an amazing bit in that the trailer for that movie that me and my sisters would always quote to each other. And it was Will Smith and his son, Jaden, when he's still quite young, playing his son in the movie. And they're like astronauts, and they're exploring distant worlds. And then I think their spaceship, does it crash in one and they have to survive on this...
Yeah, the crash lands in essentially
alien planet.
A jungle, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And like, and he says to his son, when his son is panicking, he says, "Hey, take a knee." And his son just... quietens down and just like solemnly takes his knee, and they both take a knee and they discuss it. But the way he just goes, "Take a knee." And his son just instantly sort of pew, whoop, just kind of settles
like
down again.
Like a little robot.
Yeah.
Take a knee is funny because that's an American football thing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I mean, I guess that became the protest that, what's his name? Keselnik? Kaepernick, the American football player started.
Kaepernick.
I don't know Kaepernick.
Kaepernick. Yeah, but the American names are very difficult.
Yeah.
Yes, but, of course. Yeah, taking a knee.
But it's such a strange Americanism. Take the knee. We wouldn't say that here, would we?
Well, because take a knee was just like a kind of halftime thing, like huddle.
Yeah, right.
And then it became
became the knee because that was specifically this one demonstration.
But it also coincided with taking the knee being like a Game of Thrones thing as well. Like, take the knee to like be loyal to the dragon lady.
Yeah, yeah. It was a sign of acquiescence to someone.
Yeah, so then it's all these weird like synchronicity bits of culture lining up at once and you wonder
which... Is it an old English phrase? Did it actually come from like medieval times? Did they take the knee? Did they actually say that?
You would knee before your... kneel before the king or whatever, but like you wouldn't, it's not a phrase I'm aware of, put it that way.
I'm just trying to figure out the sort of grammatical mechanics of it. How did they end up using take a knee, take a seat? I guess it's like take a seat.
Yeah,
it must be a similar formulation of that
yeah, exactly.
Take a seat, you take a knee.
Well, it's like genuflection, I suppose. Do a little kneel if you're a Catholic, you know?
Right, I reckon this is my theory on the origins of take a knee. It was in football, as you say, in halftime they use it to rest. American football. And as a joke, it started off as a little joke. Instead of saying take a seat, because that would be too comfortable, the coach or whatever go, take a knee, guys.
Yeah, take a seat. Yeah, yeah. Don't sit down with your legs crossed like little children.
Yeah, take a knee. If you need a seat, take a knee. I reckon that's how it started.
It's also how you sort of stop when you're like on a military patrol, you stop like that.
Oh, yeah, when you're like going through the Vietnamese jungle or something.
Yeah, you kneel down on one knee and you put your hand up.
Yeah.
So it's probably from that too. Maybe there was a generation of American football players who had all been in the military and so it just kind of transferred over. You do get a lot of military stuff transferring over to civilian life when conscription is around.
You have a lot of military stuff transferring to civilian life when conscription is around. Right, yes, that makes sense.
Because every single adult male has been military trained. So when they say a military thing in society, everyone knows what they mean because they were also in the military at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Like, although we've never had conscription here. We have a lot of military
UK phrases. Had conscription for ages.
When?
Up till 1959.
Oh.
National service.
Right. Okay.
That's where
that makes sense then.
We have loads of military phrases. Demob happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Whole nine yards. That's from, apparently that's from
machine guns. Bullets. Yeah, it is from the belt. Loads and loads of military slang. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had forgotten about the world wars.
You're always forgetting about the world wars.
I didn't know conscription continued afterwards.
Yeah, national service.
Oh.
Whatever you want to call it. But the point is that you had to do national service in some form until the late 50s, yeah. I mean, Brian Blessed did national service.
Mm.
In fact, this is relevant because in the Malayan emergency, when the British military was out in Malaya, a lot of the soldiers fighting out there were national servicemen, e.g. conscripts.
Oh.
It wasn't all SAS guys or something. It was also just like, you know, Bill from down the road. Like, hey, guess what? This is the version of national service you're doing. You go, oh, fuck. I have to go to Malaysia and shoot at communists.
Mm, they didn't bring back many Malay words, though.
No. They They're more interested in Hindu words from the Raj or whatever.
We should do some correspondence.
Speaking of conscripts.
Speaking of conscripts, speaking of Hindu words from the Raj, let's read your words from the letters.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, your sister, keep a straight eye, correspondence.
We have a message from David.
David. Hey, kid.
Hey, kid, David. Doopy doopy doo. Hello, buds. The title of the email is Fart Question.
Fart Question?
Yeah.
Okay, we hope we can help.
A few years ago, I went on a family holiday, and after a long day of traveling, we decided to share a taxi into London from the airport.
Okay, ooh la la, bougie, bougie, bougie.
We all packed in, parents, siblings, and spouses, and the driver was swerving a lot, braking and accelerating wildly.
I hate that.
It was one of those taxi trips where everyone is tired and feeling a bit sick and no one attempts conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it well.
It was dark and close to midnight. Suddenly, my mum said that she needed to get out and asked the driver to stop. He pulled over and she was sick into the gutter behind the car.
It's incredibly British to prefer... to wait till he needed to get out of the car to be sick, then to lean over and say, sorry, could you drive a little less erratically?
Yes. Yes. In that level of politeness of like, I would rather make this the worst version. I was stood next to her. I think, oh, I will say, I'll interrupt the email a bit to say, I think electric vehicles are making car sickness a lot worse because a lot of people who drive them have absolute fucking lead feet.
Mm.
Because there's no gradual acceleration. It's just...
It's
just like it makes your body do the vomiting motion when people drive like that. They've got no smoothness in them at all, and nor do the vehicles.
Some Ubers drive so badly. I'm like, you do this all the time.
Yeah, but it's because it's that basic functioning thing. It's like if they chopped carrots with a spoon, it's just like, well, it works. I got the chopped carrots. You just think, I guess.
I just don't know how they don't feel sick.
Yeah.
But I guess passengers tend to feel sicker than drivers.
It's just passengers. If you're driving, you know why it's lurching. It's because you're smushing your foot down on that pedal.
Mm.
But yeah, some people are just awful drivers. yeah, like that. I was stood next to her. I think I had got out so she could get to the door. She stayed bent double, waiting to see what else would come out. Instinctively, I reached out to rub her back. As my hand made contact with her back, like the second I touched her, she dry heaved and farted. So as he touches her, like the Green Mile, you know, his hand starts glowing and he touches her and she goes,
Who is the lady's him?
His mum.
Great.
So he touches his mum's back and she goes, immediately.
Like a character from Adventure Time or something.
Yeah, exactly. Some background. I have never heard or seen my mum fart or burp or be sick. She is a very... That's a fun thing to stand up and shout in a tavern.
I have never
seen my mother fart or burp or be sick. And everyone goes, hey, throw their beers in the air. I've never seen or heard my mum fart or burp or be sick. She is a very in control person. Doesn't drink, never smoked, doesn't show vulnerability. Very put together.
Doesn't show vulnerability.
Yes.
Vom, as in vomit.
Oh, yeah.
You see that?
We've always had a slightly odd relationship, all exacerbated by my father's sudden death just before I turned 10, which is something that we never talk about. In that moment of being physically connected to her as she dry heave farted, I was given a real gift.
Oh, great.
I was seeing and feeling my mother as a human. Yeah. Someone who needed help. I'm reaching an age now where I can easily see how I will need to physically assist my mum in the not too distant future. But back then it was more of an epiphany. Back then we were all gonna live forever.
Yeah. I think we're all getting to that point.
The pose we made together that night, her bent over and me rubbing her back, viewed from a distance, would cast me as the parent and her as the child. Yeah, especially in silhouette.
A Jesus and Madonna, maybe.
Yes.
A puking Jesus and Madonna.
How would that look in marble?
A puking, farting Jesus and Madonna.
He was
a baby. He would have been puking and farting all the time.
Yeah, constant.
You won't see that on the BBC, though.
I won't see that on the BBC. Just pointing at a sculpture of Jesus shitting and farting at the same time as a baby. You won't see that on the BBC.
you won't.
Well, you won't.
It's true.
Am I wrong? Just pointing at a tramp wanking in an alleyway. Won't see that on the BBC. Well, why would you? I don't know.
I'm saying you won't.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying you won't. David says, my question to you is, has a fart or a poo ever brought you closer to someone? All my love, David. That's a lovely email, David. Thank you so much for that.
That is lovely. Thanks, David. Thanks so much for getting in touch and for sharing with us such an important personal moment. Such a beautiful personal moment.
Really nice.
I do know what David is talking about. I had an ex-girlfriend who once on holiday we'd had like a very vegetable heavy curry, like a spinachy thing.
Yes.
And she came out of the bathroom and very gleefully said, "It's green. Do you want to have a look?" And I said no, but I also on some level thought, "Oh wow, okay, this is a step up in our closeness now."
Yeah, that's a promotion. Yeah. Of a sort. The comedian, excellent comedian, friend of the podcast, Sarah Baron, who is married to Jeff Lloyd. They/she in her stand-up has a brilliant sort of toilet intimacy story that I won't spoil, but go see her or ask her about it, or I don't know, maybe it's on YouTube somewhere. They have a great one to do with getting married. I'm trying to think.
I will say to counterpoint while you think that at university once I got so drunk I vomited on my friend's feet while he was wearing sandals. And I don't think that brought us any closer together.
No.
Well, so I think it can work against you sometimes.
I think it depends why the vomiting or pooing is happening. Whereas food poisoning or something is sort of quite blameless.
Right. Yeah, I think if you're drunk, that's not very charming, is it?
No, because it's your own fault. Yeah. Whereas if it's happening to you, you're blameless, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It's always very bonding when someone the other person is ill in some way. And you are
helping. you're looking after them. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always bonding.
Are you still drawing a blank?
I've had, but like none of them stand out. There is a sort of generic, like it humanizes someone and you become closer due to sort of the increased intimacy of like, oh, it's okay for you to do that around me or whatever. But no, not.
That's exactly what David's asking for.
Yeah. But like the stories aren't like set on a mountaintop or in a temple or something. They're not exceptional. They're just a generic, like, yes, that phenomenon, but just in general, nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's an answer. David did just ask.
Yeah.
Have you ever had this?
No, I totally get it. I know what he's talking about. But that his had some real cinematic quality to it almost. That's clearly stuck with
him. And poignancy.
Poignancy, yes. Whereas poignancy. Mine has been pretty domestically standard stuff, really.
Yeah. Well, thanks, David.
Yes, thank you very much.
Also, how funny that it was at the end of the trip, at the end of the holiday, that the tree bonding happened.
Yeah. Funny? At the last sort of minute of it. We've got a message from it sent like sort of updates.
Some updates.
It is from Jordan.
Jordan, give me more than just your name.
Well, he has.
Okay.
So the email is titled Tales of a Washroom Service Technician.
Ah. That was my favorite TV show as a kid.
Yeah, and scandalous novel. Good day, Philip Horse Lover Wang and Pierre Stoneman Novelli.
Yeah, those are just literal translations of our first names.
Yes. Phil loves horses. I am a stone.
Stone.
I am a rock. Praise extraordinary renditioned.
Rendition.
It's funny.
I taken away and strapped to a chair.
It's in a shipping crate in Egypt.
Nice.
Yeah. I am professionally bound in servitude to the will of the toilet gods, or a washroom service technician, as my bosses would say. Fair enough. This job involves me driving around the country to service the washroom facilities, such as soap, sanitizers, hand dryers, nappy and sanitary bins of various companies and institutions.
Wow. Traveling around.
Key worker.
Gosh. I hope they're nice institutions.
Yeah, I'd love to hear the sort of blues song about this.
Mmm.
And just riding the rails, replacing the soap.
Checking the hand dryers are still going,
Got them traveling hand dryer blues. An unfortunate career move, as my schoolyard colleagues were often fond of converting my proud Welsh last name, Pugh, meaning originally and imaginatively son of Hugh.
Oh, Pugh.
Well, in Welsh it would have been Ap Hugh.
Ap Pugh to you too.
Yeah, but then it would have just become Pugh over time. AP is like son of.
Or
of, yeah. App. So it would have been like Llewellyn Ap Hugh, and then he just becomes Pugh. So he says his schoolyard colleagues converted Pugh into the more fun Pooh. So you see, my interest in contacting you because I am Mr. Pooh. The Mr. Pooh? The very same.
We've heard so much about you. We've been talking about you nonstop.
Oh, come. Call me Jordan. My father was Mr. Pooh. Come
Pooh.
With me and Pooh. You'll be... Pooh. Yeah, Mr. Pooh. As you can imagine, this job has provided me with a plethora of unsanitary stories and tall toilet tales. However, upon discovering your poopy podcast back in the hazy days of episode 1, yes, I am a founding farter.
Wow. Fantastic.
Mr. Pooh,
of course Mr. Pooh was there at the beginning.
From the start. Like Kaiser Soze.
Mr. Pooh has always been there.
Yeah.
Listening.
Yes, I am a founding farter. I reflected on my own poop-related stories and found myself feeling the effects of PTSD rather than humor. As such, I present to you a toilet-related rescue tale. Okay.
Wow. Ba-ba-da-ba-ya-da-da. Scoop. I'm not trying to think of the theme of The Rescuers, but that's just Indiana Jones.
Oh, man. I would love The Rescuers Down Under.
Did you fancy the lady rescuer?
Sure.
Of course. She was French. She never wore trousers.
Oh, a trouserless French woman. The dream.
Never had naked from the waist down at all times. What a dream.
Oh, and rescuing rare birds. Yes, she had like a little mink hat.
I want to look her up now, actually. I thought you were going to say she had a little minx energy. The rescuers.
Oh, Bianca.
Oh, la la. Bianca. Where's she at? Where you voice. At, Bianca?
Oh, yeah. Completely pantsless.
Miss Bianca.
She works as the movie. Oh, she works as the Hungarian ambassador. She's supposed to be Hungarian.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, look at her here. She's wearing a little bow tie and a scarf and nothing underneath. Nothing below that. That's it. That's all she's wearing. But then another picture, full coat.
Oh,
decide.
Yeah.
Decide. What is she?
Make your choice. I cannot imagine the... There's, if I keep scrolling, I'm going to see some sort of hand-drawn pornography.
I think surely. I've already seen a pregnant one. Yep, I've seen a pregnant one. There she's pregnant. Yeah, this
Why
is like.
Why do people on the internet like drawing their favorite characters pregnant? What's that about?
Gosh, is that a thing? I wouldn't know, Pierre.
No, come on! I sent you that pregnant Sonic song.
Oh fuck! Yeah, pregnant Sonic, horrible. So okay, I've only gross. Seen a pregnant one. I mean. Considering what could be drawn about Miss Bianca from The Rescuers, a pregnant Miss Bianca is, I think I've gotten off lightly there. And I'm continuing to scroll, because obviously, on some level, I do want to find something.
And they go to Australia. They go to Australia, and she fancies the kind of Australian outback rodent a lot.
Oh, great.
Cause, yeah, because the normal, he's all cool, he's a Chad. And the normal rodent is an incel. He's a little dweeb. He's got a little hat on. And he's got a jumper and he's lame. Yes, of course. Oh, wow. And there's that fucking seagull.
So she's Belgian, Miss Bianca.
What? I said she was the Hungarian ambassador.
A Hungarian. Sorry.
Belgian.
Hungarian ambassador. So she's not even French.
No, she's just putting on a sort of generic, like, oh, I'm a foreign sexy mouse.
Hungarian.
voice. Anyway, so Mr. Pooh.
Mr. Pooh, yes.
Sorry, we got distracted by a sexy cartoon, as we often do. One day, while attending a customer's premises, name changed to protect the innocent, I was working around the building's different individual toilets, and I came across one that was locked.
Okay.
I thought nothing of this, as I'm sure you are both aware that everyone loves a poo at work.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Making the most of your time there. You're leaving it out of the home.
Uh-huh. I serviced the rest of the toilets and came back to this one at the end. Mm-hmm. It was still locked. I had been on site for over an hour at this point.
Okay. Okay, locked for an hour.
Obviously, we have someone who likes being paid to poo too much here, I thought to myself.
Yeah, because that's what it is. Doing a poo at work, you're like, yeah.
Being paid
to enjoy yourself, basically.
Imagine how frightened you'd be if you had a knock on the door of your cubicle while you were shitting, and outside knocking on the door, it was Mr. Pooh come to check up on you. How's it going?
What are you
there?
Doing in there? It's Mr. Pooh.
Hey, it's Mr. Pooh. How's it going in there? It's all going very well, Mr. Pooh. It's all coming out. Not just normal. Okay, well, see to it that it is.
Yeah,
yes, sir,
gosh.
Mr. Pooh.
If anyone's going to have exacting standards,
oh, he's going to put on.
You take a shit. It's Mr. Pooh.
Put on pristine himself. White gloves. It'd be like the critic from Ratatouille, frowning at you on the bog. Anyway, I decided to knock on the door on the off chance the toilet had been locked off for maintenance or some other reason. I heard a quiet noise on the other side. I knocked again. A meek help was my reply.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
Help.
No.
Help.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
Oh.
This is spooky.
As you can, as you can imagine, he says, I was alarmed.
I'm alarmed.
Help? How? Why? Me? Help was the only reply that came, no matter what question I asked.
Wow. Okay, that's very horrifying. That's bad. Like this.
I stood there stunned, motionless in the corridor.
So he's like going, "What's your name? Help.
Help. You okay in there?
What are you doing in there?
Help.
Who's the president?
I stood there stunned, motionless in the corridor. A caretaker for the customer began walking down the corridor. Luckily for me, as I meant this... lucky for me, as this meant I no longer had to handle the situation solo.
Mm.
Between the two of us, we concluded that whoever lay beyond the door was in fact trapped, and we would have to break the door down. We tried to explain to the person within that we would have to break the door inwards towards them, so this would mean they need to stand on the toilet to avoid injury.
Mm.
We waited a moment and then heard, "Okay." And then together the caretaker and I shoulder barged the door. It went on the first blow.
Oh, nice. Impressive.
Yeah. And then we discovered the identity of our damsel in distress, or duke in poop, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I want to hear a guess before I tell you.
What, is it a famous person?
No, just the nature of who's in the loo. What do you think? All that's been heard is help, and then okay.
Gosh.
I want to see if you get this right, because I don't think you will.
Well, I don't think I will. Was it the previous the cleaner?
Oh.
Who got stuck while cleaning?
Oh, I see. No. So, they burst
was
in.
It?
Oh, yeah? One more guess.
Yeah, Bruce Willis. In a sort of diehard sort of escapade that went wrong.
In a vest, stuck in the loo himself.
Yeah, yeah.
No. So they slam in, blam! Hero style. There, standing on the toilet in a crouched position, covering his head, was a 60-something Japanese businessman in a three-piece suit.
Oh, that was my next guess.
Yeah. He jumped off the toilet and hugged both of his heroes, frantically repeating with thumbs up, okay, thank you, before quickly rushing off down the corridor in a manner that many run towards the toilet. Poetic. I still reflect on this man's forward thinking. I could be wrong, however, from my small interaction with him. It appeared the three words of English he made sure he had locked in before coming to our strange country was okay, thank you, and chillingly, help.
Ah!
So that's all the words he learned in advance.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, and help. Wow, proper okay, thank you. This tale has provided... this tale has provided friends and family with laughter and questions for years, so I thought I'd share it for you. If I can search my archives for a non-horrific poo story in future, I'll call upon you once more. Thank you both for the podcast, and a special thanks to Pierre, who helped me navigate the tube one night after seeing him perform in Teddington, inexplicably in a cathedral last year. All the best, Mr. Pooh. I remember that.
Wow, so you know what Mr. Pooh looks like. You know the face of Pooh.
Let's just say Mr. Pooh appears to each of us exactly as we need him to. Yes, I remember that. Gosh, oh yeah. Yes. Oh, great. P.S. I should be excommunicated from the Church of Dirty Little Boys and Girls for my absence of Koji. However, and he sent us some toilet tat, and it's that horrible poster of like different types of shit, you know.
Oh, the Bristol scale.
Yeah, it's the Bristol stool chart. Really gross. Google it if you're unfamiliar.
If you must,
thank you, Mr. Pooh.
Thank you,
guys. Now it's time.
Thank you all.
Now it's time, Phil, to go where? To the VIP cubicle.
Yeah, I think we have been in a public bathroom before.
Yeah, maybe... Soap dispensing place? Like a supply cupboard?
Okay.
All right,
let's try that.
Okay.
How exciting. The
riveting.
Supply cupboard. I guess you bet the patrons can't wait for that one. But everyone else, we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Much of love. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.